Good morning, those watching by live stream. I just want to open up in prayer, and you could turn to Matthew chapter 14. Father, we thank you that you're still on the throne. You're sovereign. No matter what's going on through a pandemic, through everybody's life, what's happening, Lord. So our prayer today, my prayer is just that you would strengthen the faith of your children around the world. That we'd have strong faith, no matter what's happening more, what will come. We know the end of the book, but there's a time coming on this earth that over half the population is going to die. But those who are saved, we know, Lord, that we're going to be raptured out of here, but we're praying that many would get saved before that time. And so as disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith today in you alone, not in another person, not in a bank account, not in our jobs, whatever. Not one possession that we own. May we have no idols before you. You and you alone that we would depend on. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I was transparent and I said, at times I have weak faith. And if you're honest, at times you have weak faith too. The greatest men that walked on this, of course, the Apostle Paul we're going to look at, he had great faith, but at times, you know, He was discouraged. He was in Corinth, and he was ready to leave Corinth, and God said, hey, I got much people in this city. Be encouraged. That means he was discouraged, right? Even the Apostle Paul, right? I found this by Spiros Zodiatis about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher in England in the 1800s. He started like 17 years old, going around the country, just teaching the Word of God, became a great preacher. And I found this thing about him. It says, he was a man with many responsibilities. He was going home after a difficult day, and his problems were so many that he was so discouraged. And matter of fact, he had gout. He had all these physical. He wrote the Treasury of the Psalm of David. They said when he was discouraged, he was home. It says, while in the state of mind, however, he reminded of the verse from the Word of God that said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He looked up to God and said, I believe it is sufficient for today, dear Lord. When he thought of that, he burst out into laughter. And he said, how ridiculous to worry. He began to think, I'm like a fish that is very thirsty. He was beginning to worry lest it exhaust the water of the river. The big river answers, drink, my little fish. All you want, there will be plenty for you. Again, Spurgeon said, I thought I was like a little mouse in the great big grain stores of Egypt after the 7 years of abundance of harvest. I was so fearful lest I would die of starvation. And at that time, Joseph appeared and said to me, of course, hypothetical, don't worry, little mouse. The wheat stores are sufficient for you. Again, I thought I was someone on top of a mountain talking to himself and saying, I'm afraid I'm going to exhaust all the oxygen that is in the atmosphere. But I heard the atmosphere say to me, do not be afraid, little man. You breathe in all you want. Fill your lungs. There's enough oxygen for everybody. He goes on to say this, there are two kinds of people who are candidates for heaven, those who have little faith and those who have much faith. He says, little faith will take our souls to heaven. Remember this statement, it's really good. But much faith will bring heaven to us now. The important thing is for us to begin living in heaven now. In order for us to accomplish this, we must stop the sighs produced by the various ifs of our life and begin to face life as it is by faith. So we're in Matthew chapter 14, and I started last week talking about the storms that will come in our life. And remember, you will only know how strong your faith is when it's tested. Like I said last week, we all think that we have strong faith all the time, but you don't really know it until you're tested. And then you see what your faith really is at that moment, right? For example, there's people who are into powerlifting, and they want to see how much they can, you know, bench press, squat, and do a deadlift. And they're gonna test their muscles to see what that is. I remember when I was back in bodybuilding, I weighed 175, I benched 225 10 times, and I was not into powerlifting. And my son called me up and said, Dad, I just want to know I beat your record. I benched 235 12 times. So you're going to be tested throughout your life, and so am I. The key is going to be our faith, as 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says this, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now remember, what is faith? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance or the reality of things hoped for the evidence or the proof of things not seen. And then we know without faith we can't please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I spent a lot of time last week on that. It does pay to serve God. It may not look it at the moment, but it does. God is a rewarder. When you exercise faith, he is going to reward you for that. And it may be now, but it's definitely going to be later. So that's why we have to have the eyes of faith. All right, Matthew chapter 14, what is involved in this process of God testing us as our faith? And we said last week, and I began here in verse 22, is the sending of disciples into the storm. Verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, talking about the Sea of Galilee, while he sent the multitudes away. So Jesus knew the storm was coming. He actually sent them there. The word constrained, like I said last week, it means to compel by force, to persuade to go. So the Bible is very clear there's going to be many storms in your life. Job chapter 5, verse 7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. As I said last week, there's the storms of correction and perfection. The correction storms are the Jonah storms. We go off. God loves us so much, he's going to bring those correction storms to bring us back. But then there's the perfection storms. And this is a perfection storm. God's going to test your faith to strengthen it, to go on. And this is the situation here. All right, so let's pick up where we left off last week is put down the next thing. So this process, he's going to put you in places that is going to test your faith. But B is seemingly the unconcerned of Christ. And I'll explain that what I mean in a minute. Look at verse 23, Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, remember before that he had fed the 5,000. So he sent them away, sent the disciples to get on this boat that was going to be a storm. He went up into the mountain apart to pray. You know, 18 times Jesus talks about prayer, going to pray. So he went to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, in that scene, Jesus was actually on the boat. And he was present with them, and they accused him of not caring, even when he was with them. Listen to this, Mark 4, 38 says this, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? So Jesus was actually in the boat and they were accusing him that you're not helping us. Now this time he's not in the boat. Now have you ever felt in the middle of a storm in your life that you're all alone? That nobody is there? We usually start, unfortunately, when we have weak faith, we trust people. We're going to get into, look, I'm going to get into, as I finish this text, we're going to go to Hebrews 11. I'm going to show you what faith accomplishes, but at the end, I'm going to show you how to strengthen your faith. But when we start thinking we're all alone, there's nobody there. Now, I don't know about the storms of your life. I had some, I'm 60 years old, so I've had some storms. You know, it's loss of things, loss of people, loneliness, you know, health things. As you get older, all the young people say, I'm fine. Wait until you get older. And all the health starts kicking in and going down. So we're going to have a bunch of storms. And you may think, man, you know, everyone has abandoned me. I don't even feel close to God. Well, that's a lie. See, when we think God has abandoned us, you're now believing a lie. And we have weak faith at that point. Now remember, weak faith is always based on who God is and what he has promised. So when we don't believe those things at that moment, clear, we have weak faith. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is ascending to heaven. And he says, go and preach the gospel. And then those people get saved, baptize them. And then he says this, Matthew 28, 20. Teach them to observe all things. We call that discipleship. Whatsoever command you. And he says, lo, I am with you always. Unto the end of the world. So he said, look, I'm with you to the end, no matter what's happening. So anytime you and I think that God is not there, it's a lie. We have weak faith at that moment. Okay? Another verse, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Says, let your conversation or your behavior, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. So the context of this verse is God providing. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, So that we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So watch how that's connected, verse 5 and 6. When you realize that he can't forsake you, you're going to be bold. Do you see? You're going to be bold, you're going to be confident, and know that the Lord is going to help me. So see how faith is entangled in everything? But if you don't believe that he's there, he's going to help you, you're not going to be bold. Okay? Think of Joshua. One of my favorite verses is Joshua 1:9. Joshua taking over after Moses. It says, have not a commandity, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, be near thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. And because of that, and he believed that, he had victory. He eventually went to the promised land. We will not enjoy the promised land, the abundant life, without faith now. We'll just go through the motions. I can't wait to get to heaven and get out of here. That's not the abundant life. And it's all by faith. All by faith. Peace and perseverance will be the result of trusting God. Peace is not found in taking away the storm. I want you to get this. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. So we always say, Lord, take this from me. Can you clear this up, Lord? That's what we think. And then if God does that, he's real. But if he doesn't do that, he's not real. How many people have who are lost, and even Christians, will say, there's no God. Look, I asked him to help me, and he didn't help me. So what are they saying? They're saying, look, I asked him to do this, and he didn't do it, so he's not real. That's very dangerous. It is up to God to remove the storm or let the storm rage. It's not up to us. Oswald Chambers said this, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. So our faith is weak when we pray and God doesn't remove it, right? And then our faith is weak. Like, God's really not there. He's not really helping me. I'm all alone. That's weak faith. Okay? So the choice, again, is it's up to God. I had a plaque said this, sometimes God calms the storm, or sometimes God calms his child and lets the storm rage. That's up to him. Right? So there's times where God will let the storm stay, and then there will be times where God will take it away. We see it in Scripture. Example, where it will stay. The Apostle Paul said three times, Lord, can you take this thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was. Something it was eyes. We don't know. Can you take this away? What did God say? He said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. Right? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, most gladly, therefore, I would glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Great verse, verse 10. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure. That word pleasure means to think well of. In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul said, watch. He now looked at the storms in his life and he said, man, I think well of those storms. I think they're great. You know why? Because they're always, by faith, if I have faith during those times, it's going to produce in me Christ living in me. See, that was the final thing. If I walk by faith during any of those things, it's going to cause me to have the power of Christ in my life because I'm going to depend on him. That's why he changed. But without faith, we look at all of those things as a burden. I just want them removed and then I'm going to be happy. It's not true. It's not true. So that's why I want to strengthen your faith and my faith today. So we start saying, Lord, I take pleasure in the storms of life because then the power of Christ is going to be upon me. See, but only by faith can you think that. Not by the experiences and what you see. That's why it has to be a life of faith. But remember, it's not blind faith. Our object of faith is God and is in the promises of God. Your faith is not in me. Your faith is not, and I hope this happens. It's in the promises of God. So when our faith is strong in God, we take pleasure in the storms. Now here's an example of God taking away the storm in Mark chapter 4, I alluded to before. Verse 39 through 41 says this, and he rose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So they had no faith during that storm. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. And they fear exceedingly and said one to another, what man is this that even the wind and the sea can obey him? Because he's not a man, he was God. No man can stand up and say, let the wind and the rain stop. Only God could do that. That's one of the proofs that Jesus is God for what he did. So we must believe that God can control all creation, including men. When we do that, we'll have strong faith. So in any situation in your life, maybe you're going through something right now, when you think that thing or whatever it is bigger than God, you're going to fear. You're going to have weak faith. But if we believe that God can control anything, even the weather, he can control men, he can control any situation, the guy at work, wherever it is in your life, we'll have strong faith. That God can change it or God can sustain me through it by faith. All right, so what is involved in testing your faith? First, sending disciples into the storm. And then the seemingly unconcerned that God is not there, which is a lie. And then we got the stormy conditions, right? Look at the end of verse 23. It says, they were apart, evening was come, and it was dark. So they had evening there, was come, he was alone. There's two evenings, one was at 3, one was at 6. So it was dark. Think about the dark times of your life. I remember going down to Florida about 15 years ago, and there was a hurricane. And we're staying at this person's house, and they lost power for 3 days. And at night, when it was dark, it was hard. During the day, when there was light, it was pretty easy. But when it was dark, it was hard. It was in Florida in the middle of summer. No AC. We're like sweating, dying. I remember when God first called me to preach a long time ago. My voice was very weak. It still is weak. It's not that strong. And you know how you like Moses, Lord, I don't know, Lord, I don't have a strong voice. And you start making excuses until finally I just surrender, like, all right, this is what God wants me to do. Right? I felt like it was a dark time, you know, when you have to make decisions, you're in the middle of a storm, you know, but you have to just trust God. It also was dangerous. Look at verse 24. It says, when the ship was now in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, the disciples were probably thinking, and I don't know this, but just like, man, this is our last storm. We're going to die. Now, just to give you a little context of this, the Sea of Galilee was 14 miles long and 7 miles wide. And John, when you put all these accounts together, John tells us that they were in the three and a half miles into the Sea of Galilee. So that tells me they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, if it's 7 miles wide, three and a half miles, right? So they were nowhere near the shore. They were rowing, they were tired. You know, they're thinking, man, I can't take this anymore. Now, when Jesus is in the boat, it's pretty, Jesus, wake up, Jesus, come on, you can stop this. But Jesus isn't there. And a correlation for us would be like, you can't see Jesus. But by faith, you can. And all his promises. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, only by faith can you have to think that. And remember, our object of faith is strong. You're not putting your faith in me. I'll let you down. It's in the promises of God. Have you ever felt like, you know, I can't take this anymore. I want out of this storm. I mean, think of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets. 1 Kings 19, he came to the point. He says, even before that, like, Lord, there's nobody else that's serving you except me. I'm sure you've said that. You know, no one's going through this. No one could understand what I'm going through. That's another lie. Not true. So we end up believing lies. And that just says we have weak faith at that moment and not in the promises of God. All right, so we have this sending, the seemingly unconcern of Christ, the stormy conditions. Now we have the Son of God in his presence and power and peace. Look at verse 25. It says, and the fourth watch. Now, the fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. of the night. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. So where we get phobos from, right? Verse 25, 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, or be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid. So Jesus had left them, told them to go to the storm, and he was praying. What do you think he was praying? I think he was praying for them. Lord, can you, he's like, strengthen their faith through the storm. What if, it's the scriptures, what if like, all right, this is prayer, they just pray to call on God, maybe Jesus never would have showed up, I don't know. I thought about the perfect timing. Why did he wait so long? You think of John 11 where Lazarus, remember they came and said Lazarus is dead. It says he waited 4 days by the time he got there. And he told you why. He says, for the glory of God. He's going to raise him from the dead. He's going to do a greater work than if he was there. And he was sick and just healed him. So watch. God's timing is perfect. If he's going to take you out of the storm, it's perfect because he wants to for you to what? Bring glory to God. It's going to involve testing. We're going to have to exercise our faith in who God is and his promises. God knows exactly what our storms will be in the future, and he will sustain us as we trust him. Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know you know it, but just listen. It says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, so always have strong faith, and lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to show you, when we don't have strong faith, we go to the flesh. I'm going to show you how we do that in a minute. And then it says, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him by what? By faith. Acknowledge him and his promises when you're going through the storm, and he shall direct thy path. Now watch this, it's connection here. He will not direct our path. He's still sovereign, don't get me wrong. But we have to exercise faith in his ways for others to direct us, right? Because we have a freedom of will. By faith, when we believe in the promises, we'll go according to the promises of God. But we don't have faith, we go our own way. God's not directing us. It's only when we trust in him he's directing us. I never really saw that in that verse until I saw that. Yes, he's still sovereign over your life. He sees when I go astray with lack of faith. He sees that. But at that moment, I'm driving. He's not driving. Now, it was interesting. I saw this passage where disciples were asking, who's going to be the greatest? I can do this. And Jesus comes and he talks to Peter and he says this. It's almost like he's saying to every single one of us. Luke 22, 31 and 32 says this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So he saw Peter's life, and he saw the weakness of faith at times. Says, I see that, Peter. So God knows your life. He knows what's going to happen. And Jesus is praying for you. That you'll have what? Strong faith. I tell you, as I studied this whole thing, I just see like faith in everything. I never really saw it before. Hebrews 4:14 says, Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes for us. 1 John 2:1 says, he's our advocate. He's our Perry Mason of the universe. He wins every case. I want you to notice this, that the disciples were not asking for Jesus for help. They were afraid. They didn't even ask Jesus to come. Jesus, can you help us? Do you see that anywhere? Nope. I don't see it. Disciples were not looking for help. They were fearful, verse 26. So when fear is present, faith is nowhere to be seen. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, my favorite verse, I quote it all the time. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I was quoting that verse last night because about 3:30 in the morning, I went to bed like 11 or 12, got like 3 hours sleep. I had to take my daughter, Dawn, back to the airport, to Bradley. So I had to get up, drive her all to the airport, come back, and then I come back home. You know how your mind is racing? Like, I got to get a couple more hours of sleep. There's no way I'm going to preach. These nerve synapses aren't going to work. So I just started quoting this verse to calm my mind down, and I went right to sleep. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee. But verse 4, a lot of people don't quote. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Right? So in that verse, you see trust is strength. Trust is perfect peace. So without faith, you can't have perfect peace. And without faith, you can't have strength. It's tied. So when we don't have peace, and we don't have strength, we have weak faith. Now, this is crazy. We as Christians know the Word of God teaches that when we get saved, we can't lose our salvation. We can't be separated from the love of God. We know that our soul is eternally secure. And why in the world do we worry about the storms of life that God's not going to get us through? If we trust Him with our eternal soul forever, we can't trust Him for the short little time we're on earth. It's foolish. That would be like, here, somebody watching your kid for a couple days. Can you watch my precious kid, 2-year-old kid? And then, like, you had a dollar. Can you watch this dollar and you're worried about they're going to use the dollar wrong? I mean, I don't know how to compare, but, like, it's just stupid. First John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And it's any fear. Like I said last week, be very careful. So start being gracious to one another. You know, my wife may have trouble fearing in this area. Judy may hear, I may have this, but somebody else has something else. We're so quick to say, I can't believe Linda, you don't have no faith in that. Be very quick not to judge. Why don't you go and say, hey, Linda, can I help you? Can I pray with you? We think, oh, our fears are really nothing, but their fears are big. That's nonsense. Fear is fear. And it torments you. Torments me. Let me try to help you with that. What I try to do and Linda tries to do, we're not having the perfect marriage, but we try to reassure each other every day. I say, I love you. She says, I love you to me. I try to show her I love you by the acts that I do. She shows the acts that I do. Right? So every day we reassure each other. I love you, honey. Look, I'm doing this for you. I love you. I don't say that, but right? You're doing things. So when you do that, perfect love, I don't fear like Linda's going to leave me tomorrow. I don't even think of that. So when I know her love for me and my love for her is so strong, I don't fear that she's going to leave me. Perfect love casts out fear. Now to God, now we're human beings. Could it happen? Of course. But God loves you so much that nothing can happen to you as a child of God unless He allows it. So when you understand that, every fear has to flee. When a fear is bigger than the love of God, you're in trouble and I'm in trouble. What a great verse to set you free. Walter E. Wells said this, faith is an attitude of trust in which a believer receives God's good gift of salvation and lives in that awareness thereafter. Again, what I was talking about before, He gave you eternal life. He loved you so much. He's not going to take care of you? It doesn't even make sense. When the disciples feared about the storm in Mark 4, what did they say? Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were basically saying, Jesus, you don't love us. See, when we're in a storm and it's longer and longer or whatever is happening and we don't like the consequences or whatever it happens to be, we're going to say, well, God doesn't love me. Just like you look at a human being in your life and they're not doing what you want them to do. And you say, well, if you really love me, you would do this. So we go to God and we say, look, God, I'm in this storm. You're not taking me out. You don't really love me. We put up the wrong expectation. God is not some genie that we rub a bottle and He's going to do what we tell Him to do. He knows what is best. So please, I hope you have rethinking today. Rethinking about God. All right, so we got the sending. We got the seemingly unconcerned of Christ. We got the stormy conditions. We got the Son of God's presence, power, and peace. And then we have the step of some faith. Look at verse 28. It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, before you criticize Peter, we always criticize, I can't believe he lost his faith. We'll see in a minute. He started thinking, hey, wait, how about this? How about saying, Peter, who would even think, to all the other disciples didn't think, let me ask Jesus if I can walk on the water with him. Let's give him credit first, all right, guys? Let's give Peter credit. Would you, when this storm going on, would you think, I want to get out of this boat and go walk on some water? No, probably not. So he had some faith. He had some faith to start with to ask that. So that's why I said this is the kind of step of some faith he showed here, right? There was safety in staying inside that boat to some degree. Now, sometimes we as Christians, when we step out in faith, people who are lost or even Christians think you're crazy. Now, I'm just going to say that there's a difference between faith and foolishness, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because there is a difference. There are those out there that will say it's faith, but it's foolishness, and I'll show you that. But legit stepping out in faith. When I was a physical therapist and I was making good money and I had a great career coming, I have to say this. If you watched anything, Jeff Register came up with this bingo thing. And if everybody saw it's bingo, all those different things I said over 20 years. And so I just said something. I heard somebody say bingo like the next person. You could go and look at it. It's pretty funny. Last week I was almost going to say every single one so people could play, but... So listen, when I was a physical therapist, that's one of the bingo ones, right? I'm making good money. I have a secure job. When I say I was going to go be a pastor, there's people in my life, lost and saved, that said, are you crazy? You're going to leave all that? All that hard work? You went to college, you did all, you're going to leave all that to go be a pastor? So when you do step out in faith sometimes, people are going to think you're crazy. I mean, make sure you're directed by God, of course. Now, the next thing is strong, commanded faith to step out is by Jesus. Look at the next thing. F on your outline if you're taking notes, right? Look at verse 20. Let me just talk about this before I say that. So when you step out in faith, make sure, number one, it's a clear direction by God. Watch. Verse 29, he said unto him, so Peter asked, you know, verse 28, come. He said unto him, come. He said, Peter, come. Now watch this. I've seen people go to this passage and say, if I have enough faith, I can walk on water. Oh, be very careful. Let me tell you something. If John got out of the boat and he went in, he would have went right down because Jesus didn't tell John to come. He called Peter to come. Right? So don't use a passage of scripture and say, I'm going to exercise this faith and do it. That's nonsense. That's foolishness. So there's a difference. Right? Faith stands on the principles of God's word. Foolishness stands on selfish desires and wrong theology. Let me give you a couple of examples. I remember this Christian who says, by faith, I'm going to claim this particular possession. But by budget account, they couldn't afford it. So, but by faith, God wants me to have this. See, these desires that you have, make sure they line up with God. First of all, no possession is ever going to make you happy. It's going to become a burden in a way because you got to take care of it. So be very careful thinking some possession is going to make, if I could just have this house, if I could just live here, I could just do this. Oh boy, I'm going to be so happy. If it has you, you're not going to be happy. It's going to be a burden. So this person does it. They possess this thing. Within 6 months, it was gone because I couldn't afford it. Another example. There was a neighbor one time, a long time ago, that was very sick, and actually the large intestine burst. And that's very bad. Septic. It goes right in, and you're going to die most of the time, not always. So I went to visit this person in the hospital. When I went in there, there was... Again, I'm just going to say the truth. There were charismatic Catholics in there, and they were praying. And the husband was lost. And I heard this. They were saying, by faith, we're claiming this woman to be healed. In the name of Jesus, they're putting oil on her, doing all this stuff. Told the husband, she's going to be healed. 2 days later, she died. So what happened to his faith? They're saying, God is real. We pray this is going to happen. It didn't happen. It'll destroy people's faith. Now, I'm not against asking God to heal. Let's pray all we want. Let's pray. God can heal. I've seen people get healed. So I'm not against it. But to claim it by faith, because you use wrong theology, by his stripes we are healed. I read it this morning. That's talking about salvation. It's not talking about physical healing in 1 Peter. You take it out of context. So that becomes foolishness. I tell you, as I get older and older, I leave more up to God instead of me. Before, when I was younger, God, will you please do this? This is the best thing. You know that. And now I'm like, man, the more I get to know you, I hardly even know you. You know what's best. Do what you want. Now, when we exercise simple faith by God's word, we can yet do the impossible, though. Look at the end of the verse. It says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Hey, nobody else walked on water besides Jesus and Peter that I know of. That's recorded. So his faith allowed him to do the impossible. Now, again, I'm not teaching you again. You have enough faith to walk on water. That was for Peter. George Mueller said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Daniel 11:32 says, the people who do know their God shall do great exploits. That means achieve great things for God. Now, I don't know if I'm going to finish all this. I want to, could you guys stay for like another half hour? Is that cool? Everybody okay with that? I know there's no nursery. People are holding, you know, watching in there anyway. I got to do this. I want to kind of put it all in one message. So stay with me, all right? Let me just end this, and we're going to go to Hebrews. Look at the next thing you want to write down. Last thing is the safety of Jesus' hands. This is very important to understand. Now, look at verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, let's just stop there so you don't know anymore. Peter is walking on the water. How far did he go? I don't know. Was it one? Was it two? Three, how many steps did he go? I don't know. But he did walk in some water. And then he began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. So I think he was sinking slowly. You know, I don't think it was right away. I think it was like, Jesus, save me, you know. I don't know. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. See, God knows the perfect timing when he knows you're going under. He's going to stop that from happening, okay? And he caught him and said unto him, oh, watch this, O thou of little faith. Man, you don't want to hear that. Whereof didst thou doubt? Did you doubt, Peter? You didn't have to doubt. You started walking on water. But here's the thing I want you to see. We will all fail in not trusting God sometimes. But thank God that he is faithful and won't let us sink. Right? God still loves and cares for us when we don't trust him fully. You got to get that too. Because watch, after you show little faith and you say, oh, God doesn't love me. Look, if I was just faithful, he'd love me more. Wrong. It's not true. You can't be separated from his love even if you're unfaithful, even if you have no faith. He had little faith, but God was still faithful. I want you to see that. Because it's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up. Get up and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Strengthen me and go forward again. Start believing the promises of God again. Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Great verse. You know, Peter walked in the water twice. Do you think about that? Right? He walked on the water, lost his faith, go down. Jesus picks him up. He walks on the water again. I don't know how far away from the boat, but he walked on the water again with the help of Jesus. I never thought about that before. So even when you fail, you can walk on the water again because God's faithful. God could still use you. I don't care what you have done. Now, Now, what does this result in? When God is faithful to us, what does it result in? Worship to him. Look, it goes on to say, right, verse 32, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. What do they do? Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying of truth, thou art the Son of God. You are God himself. But only when we exercise faith can we come to the conclusion. I know in fact we know he is God. I'm talking experience. When we exercise faith and he either brings us through the storm or takes the storm away, we see that he really is God. He needs to be worshipped. So I want you to worship him no matter if you're still going through the storm and it's going to stay. He's going to give you grace and strength or he's going to take it away. Don't just worship. We have a tendency to say, oh, praise God, look what God did for me. And no one says, praise God, he's keeping me in the storm. I just love, thank you, Jesus, I love you. I want us to praise God on both, right? Not when he does something that we said he should do. All right. I am not going to get through all of this. I hate to keep saying that. It's probably another bingo one you should put down. I'm not going to get through this. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I know these are all the things that they say you should never sit up on the pulpit. I don't care. Some of the things that I was taught by different people along the way, I tell you, I think it's the opposite of what Jesus wants. I think we have to be real. Let me talk about what can faith accomplish. First of all, sacrifice for God will take place. Look at verse 4. I'm going to do this quick. I'm going to skip over my notes and try to just go quick. So stay with me back there to the slides. I may skip a few, but we'll see. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I love that last phrase. He's dead, but what's still speaking? His faith for what he did. See, our faith, even when we're dead, can speak and encourage a lot of people. His faith is still speaking even though he's dead. I love that. So Abel's faith showed that he had the right heart attitude and the excellent sacrifice. People argue, well, there's a blood sacrifice. I'm not going to get into all that, whether it should. There was other sacrifices that people did bring. But it's impossible to live a sacrificial life without faith in God. We have to believe he's watching, he's empowering us, and he's providing for us along the way. We will not be willing to sacrifice without faith. I saw this preacher. He went to China. It's a really quick video, and I forget the guy's name. I think his first name was Wayne, actually. He went and he talked to 22 leaders in China, under the underground church. And there's 22 million people underneath these 22 leaders. And he said, look, if we get caught right now being together, what's going to happen? He goes, you're an American, they're going to just deport you within 24 hours. Us, we're going to jail for 3 years. And he had like 17 Bibles out of 22, so he passed those out. And he said, I turned to 2 Peter, and he started reading, and one lady handed the Bible to the other person and goes, I don't need it because I memorized that. She goes, where do you memorize all that? Goes, in prison. So they memorize books and pages. They don't have it. Like, we have so many Bibles in our house. At the end of talking to him, he says, what can I pray for? They said, can you pray that we can meet like you do in the U.S.? He goes, no, I'm not going to pray that. He says, you know why? He goes, in America, he goes, you guys travel 13 hours on a train to get here. People won't, it's raining out or the weather's bad or whatever's gone. They won't even go to church. Oh, that's too far or whatever, he said. And then he said, you guys have been sitting on a wooden floor for 3 days listening. If we don't have a padded chairs, you don't have air conditioning, I'm not going to that church. I'm going to go to another church. It's more comfortable to sit there. He says, a bunch of people have Bibles, but how many people in America memorize one verse a week? By saying all that, he said, listen, I'm going to start praying that we'll be more like you. American Christianity, and I say it often, it's not good. It's self-centered Christianity. It's what the church can do for me. That's not what it's about, guys. It's not like I'm single, I got to go find a better singles ministry at a better church. No, I'm praying for you. God, you will find the right person. I've seen almost everybody in my life find the right person eventually. They do. But that's not why you come and worship God. You know, thank God for all the people that work in the ministry, the IT. They do all the hard work. That's great. And we should make it sound the best. We're going to bring in somebody in to help. Hey, by the way, when I was walking in, Frontier's going to put a speed. They're going to put a cable. I'm ignorant. So they're going to put a cable that's faster. So it's going to help with the Wi-Fi. Yeah. So hopefully within a month we'll have it and the speed will be faster. So we won't struggle. Some people watching. But my point is, we can do the best that we can. I told somebody last night, I am tired of pleasing people. I'm going to do this so Joe stays in the church. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to preach like I'm preaching right now. First by first, let's come and worship God. Look to serve God. Don't look for people to do things for you. You'll never be happy. You're never going to be happy. Christ has to satisfy you. These Christians in China? Well, let me tell you, next week, if I said, if you come to church and the authorities come in, you're going to jail for 3 years. How many people will be here? I'm serious. If we said, we're getting rid of these chairs and next week everyone's going to sit on the floor. We're not going to put the air conditioning on. We're not putting the heat on. Just wear your winter coats. Right? I'm being honest, right? You know it's the truth. Do we have strong faith? We do the comparison thing. Well, my faith is much stronger than, okay, I'll say it, Susie over here, right? Well, my faith is so much strong compared to her. That's what we do. We compare. I better stop here. So listen, next week, we're going to talk about the birth of Christ, but I'm going to keep going here. I'm going to fit it in, okay, guys? I'm just going to fit it in. You have to have faith to believe in Jesus. I'm going to do it somewhere. But I'm going to finish this message. Father, forgive me. Forgive us. Forgive America and other countries that have weak faith. We'll be willing to suffer for Jesus. Willing to go to prison for him, to worship him, to speak about him. Forgive us, Lord. Strengthen our faith. Work in each heart here, Lord. With no one looking around, you here. Maybe you're watching at home, you eventually watch this. First of all, you got to come by faith to accept Jesus only. It's not by being good. It's not by coming to church, getting baptized. It's about taking your faith in the work that Jesus did for you, not your good works. God does not weigh the good and the bad, and if good outweighs the bad, you're in. We're all no good. We're all sinners. We have to pay a penalty for that sin, and that's to spend eternity away from God in hell. But Jesus loved you so much. If you're the only person on this earth, he would have died for you. Some of you sitting here have never accepted Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Some watching. Please, the first faith that you have to exercise, it's in Jesus to be saved, your soul. And you say, well, I'm pretty bad. Listen, the Bible says God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. We're all no good. You got to come to Jesus and you got to trust him only. He came in the manger as God himself. He walked on this earth, lived a sinless life. He went to the cross. He died. He shed his blood. His body was broken for you, God himself. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's the only way. He rose from the dead. He is alive today. Please, can you accept Jesus Christ personally today? You're here today, say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never accepted Christ personally. I want to do that. Anybody at all, put your hand up. I want to pray for you today. I won't call you out by name. Anybody at all, please accept Jesus. You don't need me to do it. You can go home tonight or later on and say, Jesus, I know that you are God, that you're the only Savior. I believe you rose from the dead. I turn from my sin and what I'm trusting in, and I trust you and you alone. for my salvation. If you would do that, all your sin will be gone, the guilt of sin. You go into God's family. You'll become a child of God. You're not a child now until you become a Christian. And then all those promises for his children, they apply to you. For those who have done that, listen, I'm only trying to do one thing through this mini-series is to encourage you to really trust in the promises of God and what he said. But you know what? You're going to have to be in it. You're going to have to memorize it. You're going to have to focus on it. And you, God can use you in a great way every single day in your home, at work, in the church. Father, I pray for those who have drifted away in the faith, they would come back all over the world. I pray for those who are contemplating right now doing things that are opposite of your word. They would not do that. Your word is true. It's right. And you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that you're faithful to me and even to us when we have no faith or very little faith. Help us this week. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.